Lord, as we declare our belief in you and your transforming power, we just love you. We thank you for examples and models today showing us in real life, in real terms, in actual flesh and blood, what you love to do in every one of our lives. Take us, transform us, grow us, and cause us to be fully devoted followers of Jesus. Father, as we devote our time now to your word, to studying, would you cause your word to be illuminated in our minds? Would you get anything, any person, me out of the way? Just shine your word today. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Be seated if you would. Thank you, team. If you've got your Bibles with you, this is a good time to take them out. And we're going to look at two main passages today. We're talking about prayer. We're talking about powerful prayer, but also powerful prayers. So it's same spelling, but different emphasis. Powerful prayer and powerful prayer. As we focus in on Elijah, we've been studying now for a couple of weeks, just zeroing in on a man of God that's known and described in the New Testament as someone we can all follow his example, follow his pattern, follow his model for our lives. In fact, here's what the book of James says about Elijah that should be an encouragement for everybody in the room today, especially the first part of it. Especially the first part of it where it says, he was a man just like you and I. Do you catch that? The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. And then again he prayed, and this is where we're at today. And again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. I mean, we're talking about a man here who, through the power of God and prayer, was able to control climate. Some of our climate change challenges would be solved if we had more focus, probably, on people like Elijah. Prayer. Now, there's a few children in our midst, and so I got this for the kids, but I thought we'd all enjoy. It's just a 2 or 3 minute kind of review of where we're at with Elijah and where we're going with him. So catch this, and it'll catch you up as kind of a review. I thought you might get a kick out of that. That's great. You know, you got a little rap in there or something, you know, so gets us thinking. Well, so what were some secrets to Elijah's prayer? I mean, he was one who zeroed in on what it means to be a man of prayer. And some of the things that we're going to talk about are examples that we can follow. And every one of us can examine, what's our prayer life like? What's your prayer life like? I don't know about you, but when I do a 1 to 10, and I say, you know, 10 is the, you know, perfect Elijah-like prayer life, and one would be infantile steps of prayer, I tend to hang out too close to the middle or lower section and say, God, I've got a lot of growing I can do in my prayer life. I'm not like Elijah yet. So here's 4 principles that can be borrowed from this passage to say, okay, here's some things that will help us move in a direction of being like the encouragement from James that says we can be like Elijah. If you're taking notes, go ahead and jot this one down, that we would pray with humility. Pray with humility. There was there's an approaching God with pride will never work. We don't come to God out of our own ability. Instead, we come to him in humility. We come to him knowing he is God and we are not. That's the idea. So this showdown happens that you saw on Mount Carmel. The 450 prophets of Baal are taken out. God, Jehovah, brings down fire, and there's a clear winner in the contest that's taking place. And now we're kind of shifting to a little bit different mode because there's still a famine in the land, and God had said he was going to bring rain. So the first thing that Elijah says to Ahab, he says, go eat and drink, for there is the sound of heavy rain. Now this is before a drop has come to the earth. There's no rain yet, but he's envisioning and telling Ahab, God said there was going to be rain. It's been 3.5 years, and God's ready to fulfill the promise that he has made. So he kind of puts himself out there and says, there's about to be a conclusion to this showdown, and here's what it's going to be like. So Ahab went off to eat and drink. It's like there's been this killing of the prophets and showdown, and he goes and has lunch. You know? And in a way, it's so Elijah can do what Elijah's going to do. He's going to devote himself to prayer. So what's it say? Elijah climbed to the top of this mountain, Mount Carmel. And he bent down, the Bible says, interesting, down to the ground, and he put his face between his knees. So when I was talking like a yoga position, you know, it's a contrite, almost like we would say bowing down to the lowest point he could get in his contrite position. And he begins to pray. He begins to pour out his heart in prayer to the Lord. As he gets down, I want you to just think with me for a minute about the difference between formal and informal prayer. You know, God wants us to be in a constant attitude and a constant mindset of prayer. He says, pray without ceasing in the New Testament. And so there's this idea of, well, I'm praying all the time. Don't confuse your prayer all the time, your informal times of prayer, with the call to formal prayer, where you position yourself and block out time, and it's not just randomly as you go, but it's saying this is a prayer time. This is a worship time. This is my focus for the moment. I remember moving a neighbor down in Oregon out of a home he'd been in for nearly 60 years. He was a Lutheran from Norwegian Lutheran, old school. And when we moved him out, I remember seeing some marks that looked like he was doing something beside his bed, like maybe wiping his feet. The carpet was worn out at the foot of the bed. So I asked his wife. It was Oscar and Ollie. They've been married 60 years, this couple. So, Ollie, what's the deal? What's he doing? Was there a machine there? Or why is the carpet worn out at the foot of the bed? You know what she said? That's where Oscar knelt to pray. What the heck? He wore the carpet out with his knees? Oh, my word. So we're talking formal. Could it be the power of his life, the length of his marriage, the strength of his relationship, and the power of his witness was related to the time that he spent on his knees at the foot of his bed praying? Now, some of us would say, my knees are too old for that. He wasn't a young guy. And it didn't start at an old age. Let me encourage young and old alike to say, let's block out formal times, not just the, oh yeah, I pray all the time. I'm praying all day long. Good. Pray all day long. But take time, like Elijah, to formally get in a posture, a position, a place where you're zeroed in on prayer, where the obstructions, the barriers, the things that would be keeping your attention are blocked out. Why do you suppose he got down on his face before God? You know, he spent time in formal prayer. There was physical posture. Have you this week been on your knees? Just a question. I don't mean to judge. Just a question. Have you blocked out time? Could it be that your growth in Christ and your succeeding and thriving as a Christian is going to be directly related to your blocking out time for formal discussion and prayer with God. Most of us have to do that in all our relationships. If I just say, well, I love my wife, I'm just going to live my life, but you know, there's something special when I say, honey, it's Valentine's. Actually, ours was the day before Valentine's, because Valentine's, we had to watch the grandkids so the kids could go have Valentine's, you know. So, honey, let's go out on a date, Do you have to do a date night? No. But when you block out time and you say, we're going to do something together, block out that time. It works for it works for daddy-daughter dates with your kids. I hear dads say, I want to be a great dad. I go, how much time are you spending? Well, you know, I take them to school and no, we're not talking about that. We're talking about time for you to talk. Well, I'm preaching now, so I'll go on. It's the same with human relationships as it is with our Heavenly Father. If you don't block out time and you just say, I'll just casually talk to God whenever, it's not going to be the same. Block out time. Like if you got to climb up a mountain and you're saying, I'm climbing up the mountain to pray, guess what you're going to do when you get there? Hopefully, you're going to pray. There's a few in the room that went up Mount St. Helens. Daniel. Yeah. I see Lori over there. When you get to the top of the mountain, you're enticed by lots of things, but you can't help but use that spot to say, oh, my Lord, and to bow in prayer at the top of a mountain and say, I'm here for prayer. I'm here with that in mind. Now, back to the book of James we started with. It says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the... You can finish that, right? Well, the proud person says, I'm living my life, and if I need you, God, I'll call on you. That's proud. He resists, catch that, he resists the proud, but gives what? Grace to the humble. He opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. And what's he going to do? He's the one who's going to lift you up. Humble yourself. So the first principle here is humility. The first principle is to pray with humility. Second one, pray with, I love this word, specificity. Say that out loud. Specificity. Be specific with your prayers. One more time. Specificity. Isn't that a great word? Yeah. Pray with specificity. Pray for what exactly you're looking for. Don't pray just in generalities. I think our nature is to be real general in our prayers instead of real specific in our prayers. Jesus teaches us by his own model and example, and the apostles teach us by their declaration and teaching to pray specifically prayers that we want to see God work with. In Elijah's case, he is very specific. In fact, he tells the servant, go and look toward the sea. He's up on this mountain, and one side of the mountain, there's a sea over there. See, and he says, go look at the Mediterranean. Go look at the sea and see if you can see clouds. Go there, he says. And the guy comes back. The servant comes back and says, there is nothing there. But 7 different times, Elijah says, go look at the sea. What's obvious? What's the implication of what Elijah is calling on his servant to do? He's got a specific prayer in mind as he sends his servant out. The rain is coming. Now, James chapter 5 tells us what he's praying. He gives us the details about his specific prayer request. It says, and Elijah prayed it would stop raining, and it stopped raining. And here he prayed that it would rain, and it rained. The more specific you can be, the more glory God gets. So what's the difference between saying, God bless all the missionaries in the world, good night, and saying, Lord, this mission has just been through a crisis. They've been burned out of their breath. Lord, would you provide a place for this mission to move to? And then you know what? When God provides that, it's a lot more than just bless the missionaries. You are very drilled in and specific, and you're looking for an answer. That's the model. That's the example. God be with us. Not a bad prayer. But you know, he already promised he's going to be with you. So the question is, what is really on your heart? Don't go just from the big platitude, the big generalities. Get down to the very specifics. What would you like the Lord to accomplish in your life today? I mean, that's prayer. What do you want God to do in the lives of those that you love and care for? Not just help all the married people have good marriages. Who do you know that's struggling in their marriage that you want to say, God, would you heal this marriage this week? Would you heal this marriage? Would you work on the hearts? See, that's a specific marriage. It's with specificity. Go from the generalities to the drilling into the specifics. Let God use you in that way. He prayed for rain. The Bible says, you have not because you ask not. You ask, but you ask amiss. See, when he had a specific vision and he said, look toward the sea. Can I just encourage you? Have a vision for what you're hoping God will do in your life. Vision, I mean, the Bible says, without a vision, people perish. Let God institute and grow a vision in you and let it come out of your prayer life. That's what it's about. Seeing vision and seeing God work to fulfill that vision. In fact, your main prayer ought to be, your main request ought to be, God, what do you want? Let me catch your vision. Let me catch your vision. Amen. You have not because you ask not. I mean, that's really the bottom line in our lives. I'll ask people all the time, oh, this, that, a job, and finances, marriage, and have you prayed about it? Well, no, but I will, you know, okay. First step, not a, oh my, has it gotten to that? But instead, no, it starts there. Let God be the one who leads it. Well, let's move on. Pray with persistence. So there's the specifics of what we're requesting. But one of the key things for Elijah was his persistence. In James it says, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man can accomplish, or the old King James says, availeth much. You know, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Since he was a human being just like we are, what does it say in the book of James? He prayed earnestly. Earnestly. That's the idea of persistence to me anyway. Fervent or persistent or earnest prayer. This is the idea of not just randomly wrote, reciting meaningless words. Jesus called babbling. You know, instead, pray with earnestness and persistence. Now, this is a tough one because we don't want to be vain repetition. The Bible warns us about vain repetition, where we think we'll be heard because of many babbling words. But we want to be persistent. So think about this for a minute. Here's Elijah. He prays on his face before God and sends his servant out. Servant comes back and says, nothing. Now, would you, if you were Elijah, say, okay, must be something else God's got in mind. Elijah prays again. Sends his servant out again. Hey, dude, go check it out. Nothing. Would you stop after two? I mean, he tried. Okay, let's give it a third try. Should we give it a third try? He's on his knees, on his face, before God. Go check it out. No sign of rain. Would you stop after three times? Come on. Come on, be honest with yourself. Four? Five? Come on, at five we'd all drop off, right? Six? What if Elijah had stopped at the sixth time of prayer? What if Elijah had said, enough, bag that noise, I'm out of here. You know, what if his persistence lasted to the sixth and not led to the sixth? You catch me? At what point do we know when to say enough is enough? Now, God had promised earlier in this chapter, he's going to make it rain. In fact, he said, go tell Ahab it's going to rain. And Ahab went and said, it's not going to rain for 3.5 years. It's going to rain. It's not going to rain. So here's the fulfillment of that it's going to rain. You catch the point? God had already promised the rain was coming. He was just standing on God's promises. That's a key principle for all of us when it comes to persistence. Persist when there is a promise of God to claim. Promises of God are like blank checks waiting for the children of God to sign and endorse and cash. You know, the promises of God are there for us to claim, and he loves it when we take him at his word. There's really nothing better than a person in prayer with their nose in the book saying, God, I'm looking for this one. Lord, here's another one. I'm looking for this one. They are blank checks with God's endorsement on the bottom, but us to endorse the back. I was about preaching the other day that my buddy's got a check in a wedding, and he didn't really look at it. You know, it was a wedding fee. Just signed it and put it in the bank, and the bank called him back in and said, we need you to come back in because you got to sign it the way it was made out. And his friends were teasing him, the ones he did the wedding for. And it said, Most Holy Right Reverend, and then had his name. And they said, you're going to have to sign it. And he's like, what? He hasn't talked to him since, you know. But God's got blank checks for us to just... He just wants, and that's what prayer is. It's saying, God, I want to take you at your word. Now, if it's something obscure and weird and off the charts, that's different. But when he makes a promise like he made to Elijah in that day, or he makes a promise to you and I through his word, there is no question he wants to fulfill that and is planning to do just that. Take him at his word. Persist. Don't give up. We got guys in our church that are courageously standing for a broken marriage that they believe God wants to heal. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Stand there. Now, obviously, there's two wills involved, two people, and either one of them can be outside of God's best. But if you're that faithful spouse to say, I'm going to stand for what God wants, I'm going to stand on his promises. Elijah stood at the top of the mountain on God's promise and said, God's going to, we don't know when. It might not be till the seventh request. So what's the difference between vain repetition and persistence? Have you ever solved that one for yourself? Vain repetition has to do with just mindlessly reciting something, hoping that it works. Whereas persistence is drilling into the heartfelt, we call it earnest, part of the plea. You catching that? Vain repetition, heartless. Earnest persistence, heartfelt. You catching that? That's the difference. That's what Jesus specifically taught against one. So if someone says, well, say X amount of prayer, you know, Hail Marys or Our Fathers or something, and just wrote prayers, he says, That can be just vain repetition. Don't count on that. He says, put your heart into it. If it's three words, Lord, bring rain. Or Lord, make it rain. That might be all you've said seven times. And guess what happens? It rained. Boy, did it rain. The book of James says, again, he prayed. We know what he did. He prayed again. Don't stop with one prayer. Pray again. It's not a lack of faith when you are persistent in prayer. Remember the guy who came to the door and wanted a friend to let them in, and He didn't let him in just because he was a friend. It was the middle of the night and the kids were all asleep. But he let him in because of the persistence, you know? And it's not that God's the one who's trying to keep us out, just the opposite. But he appreciates, he loves, he rewards persistence in prayer. Prayer, you know, maybe some of you are praying for a family member that needs to come to know Christ. Oh, don't stop. Well, I prayed and they didn't come. Okay, I'm done. Don't stop. Don't quit. Persist. Don't stop until they open their heart to Jesus and allow him to be their Lord and their Savior. Amen. Persist in your prayer. Some of you tell me you're stuck in job situation. Well, I even quit praying about it. Don't stop praying about it. God may use that job situation you're in now to change you. Could it be that the seven times the servant had to go back to the edge of the cliff and look out over the water, could it be God was using those seven times for his life? We don't know. Could it be that the prayer over here on his face before God with his head between his knees, it says, could it be that God used those seven times of prayer to change him inside? I mean, God could have, right? We would all agree, God is God, and he could have, in a moment's notice, caused this cloud to come and rains to take over. But he didn't. So what's he doing? We don't know. We can only ask the questions and assume God is God, and he's got it in control. We're trusting him with the bigger picture, right? That's the essence of prayer. Some of you are in financial distress, financial problems. You know, maybe God's trying to do something in you. Ask again. Look to the Lord again. Persist in your prayers. In fact, it says it this way. We will reap if we do not faint. We will reap if we don't faint. It says, don't be weary in well-doing, because in due season you will reap if you don't faint. Yeah, pray with persistence. Well, time is fleeting, so let's go on. Pray with expectancy. Let me move these on here. Here we go. Pray with expectancy. The seventh time the servant reported, a cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. So this is the first indication, after seven times of prayer, that there's an answer to the prayer. Elijah knows deep down, he's convicted, he's convinced, he's emphatic about the fact that God's going to bring this rain. He knows God's got a promise there and it's going to be answered. And he hears from the servant a hint to the answer to the prayer. Hey, out there on the sea, there's a teeny little cloud, a small cloud as big as a man's hand. So Elijah says, go and tell Ahab, the king, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. I find humor in that. He's saying, okay, king, you better get off the mountain. Because if you don't get off the mountain, you're not going to be able to get off the mountain because there is a deluge coming. How do you get that out of a cloud the size of a man's hand? Faith, trust, and a reading of what God is up to in the world. A closeness and a relationship and a perception that comes from prayer. He knew what God was up to, and that expectation. He had faith. He knew if any man is going to approach God, the Bible says, approach him with faith. For it is impossible to please God without it, without faith, without our trust. See, God had already made this promise, and God was just about fulfilling it. He said, it will rain on the earth. So, he was taking him at his word. And he was expecting God to show up. Isn't it interesting? It says, in the meantime, God was causing the rain to come down. In the meantime, look at verse 43. Meanwhile, the sky grew dark with clouds. The wind rose, and heavy rain started falling. So you got nothing? Cloud the size of a man's hand? Pretty soon, what have you got? Heavy rain, a sky growing dark, wind coming and falling, and Ahab rode off to Jezreel. The power of God was shown in the answer or the fulfillment of this prayer. God always appoints a way for the fulfillment of his promises to take place. We can't always see it. What are the three ways God has of answering prayer? Yes, now. Yes, later, wait. And no. There are requests we make, like the Apostle Paul made, where God says no. There are other requests we make, like the first six for Elijah, where he says, wait, keep praying, keep seeking me. And there are like the seventh prayer. If all we saw was Elijah's seventh prayer, we'd be going, wow. But he learned something was taking place in that period where it says he prayed earnestly and it did not rain. And then he prayed again and the heavens produced their rain and the crops, and everything was affected. Let God's power speak for itself. Well, let me just encourage you. Are you at a point where you could let God grow your prayer life to a whole new level? Could these four things, humility, approaching him with humility, specificity, earnestness, and in this case, letting his expectancy and faith grow in you. Could that be the power to move you forward in your prayer life today? Could God be wanting you to be stepping up in prayer? I'm thinking as a congregation, God has a lot of us on the edge of taking the next step in prayer, of allowing him to use our lives in a totally new and different way that up till now we've not enjoyed. Let's bow in prayer. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your call to powerful prayer and being powerful prayers. Lord, would you use this model, this example of Elijah in our lives? Cause us to be Elijahs today. Cause us to be a congregation filled with prayer, saturated homes and families. Lord, would you lift us up to a whole new level of prayer? Cause us to be your people in tune with you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name.